episode number 14 of The Art of Med School, where we help creative minds understand medicine. This episode, we're talking about taste, what to do when you're homesick, and the facial nerve.
All right, Micah, this one sounds delicious.
What, because it's taste?
Yeah.
I love tasting. Like, that is probably one of my biggest weaknesses.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I like buffets so much. Like, yeah, it's really nice to have all the food I can eat, but being able to taste so many different things is really my favorite part, you know?
Yeah. I think that it's indicative of the one of the celebrations of your people. Schmeck Fest.
Right, taste festival.
It's a tasting festival. It's a festival of tasting.
Yeah, that's totally a thing. Even, like, when you cooked supper for my birthday last year, it wasn't any one big thing. It was a bunch of small things, you know?
And I am such a good wife.
You are a really good wife.
I even made, just for those that weren't there, I made little cupcakes that were actually meatloaf, and I topped them with mashed potato frosting.
It was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, the scotch eggs you made were pretty good, too.
I hate scotch eggs,
I love scotch eggs. Ugh. I only wish we could make scotch eggs here. But we can't, because we can't get the right type of sausage.
I haven't seen it.
No. Anyway, well, so we're talking about taste, obviously, and I thought it'd be kind of neat to take a look at the different taste profiles that we always think of, the different taste types that we have.
Yeah, I totally remember from, you know, school children days, like, that there was a diagram of the tongue where the tip of your tongue was sweet, the back of your tongue was bitter, the sides were sour.
Yeah, it's something like that. That is both true and untrue.
I am certain, as is most of my things that I was taught in my childhood.
Most of your childhood science. So it's true that, like, there are zones where those are concentrated, but we also have taste receptors all over the tongue.
Didn't you, at one point in time, didn't you tell me that, like, babies have taste receptors both in their stomach and on their outsides of their faces?
Actually, we as adults have taste receptors in our stomach. I'm not entirely sure why.
Wouldn't that literally always taste like vomit?
I suppose, yeah, I don't know. Probably not all
How
the time.
How am I not tasting vomit right now if I've got taste receptors in my stomach?
I don't know. I mean, it's like touch. It might be like touch, where you have receptors for touch that is like light touch, and you have receptors that is touch for deep touch, and you have touch receptors that are for new touch, and touch receptors that are for long-term touch. So you don't feel the clothing on you all the time because your body learns to filter that out.
Right.
You know?
It'd be like way too much stimulus of all time ever, and you'd freak out.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, as I understand it, your brain kicks out something like 98% of the information that it takes in. Anyway, so yeah, we have all those different taste types. Bitter is, I think, a very interesting one because we evolved our ability to differentiate, and we think that this is because of an evolutionary trait. And many compounds that are harmful to our health are bitter tasting.
Right.
So one of the reasons we developed this concept of bitter taste is to know, hey, don't eat that stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Salty is interesting because it's the simplest receptor. It's actually just an ion channel that allows sodium to enter.
Oh.
And that's it. It's no more complex than that.
Yeah, that sounds kind of stupid easy.
Yeah, and you know, all salt is sodium mixed with something else.
Nah.
I feel like you fake laugh after that. Like, it sounds like a fake laugh.
I'm really enjoying myself.
What happens is the sodium enters the taste bud cell, and it depolarizes the cell, and that leads to the neurotransmitter release underneath it. So contrast that with sweet, which is more complex. It actually has, there's different types of sweet, like different compounds that we taste as sweet, right? And so depending on which compound we take in, it releases different transmitters. So a natural sweet taste.
Like a banana?
Yeah.
Like a fructose sweet?
Yeah. That releases something called gustusin, And a synthetic release follows like kind of a similar but very different process for releasing transmitters. The one that I think is pretty cool too is sour, because sour is really just the presence of acid.
So much like when we were talking about spicy,
yeah,
that it's more of a sensation than it is a flavor.
Yeah, in kind of a similar concept. Really, we're just, you know, acid is just hydrogen ions, and that's what we're detecting is hydrogen ions. So there's a simple ion channel that allows hydrogen to flow in, right, to your taste bud. And then a sodium channel with those hydrogen ions. So then there's a sodium channel, or not sodium, potassium channel that those hydrogen ions block to prevent that potassium from escaping the cell, and that causes sodium ions to move with the concentration gradient out so that it can trigger the neurotransmitter, the sensation, the nerves to fire. But it's like a three, okay, it's like a three ion, 3-point phase system for us to detect sour.
Yeah, that's kind of complicated.
Yeah, and so I'm like, I think about this every time I eat like a sour apple or like a Sour Patch Candy Kid or whatever, you know. It's like there is a lot of information going on in my mouth right now.
Yeah.
And it causes potassium and sodium both, as well as just hydrogen, and it's acid.
Hmm.
Oh, and then the last that we know of is umami, and that's a pretty newly known concept. Savory or meaty. It's no one's. I don't think anybody has a really good description of it yet.
Yeah, which is difficult to then explain it.
Yep.
But I think you know it when you eat it.
Yeah, I think so.
It's just the Japanese word for yummy. I've also said this on this podcast.
I think you think that just because it's called umami.
No.
Which is really close to yummy.
No, I'm sure I heard this somewhere.
Well, we do know at this point, though, that what it's detecting is glutamates. And glutamates are common in meats, cheeses, and other protein-heavy foods. So we have something to detect, you know, the acid. We have something to detect carbohydrates. We have something to detect salts, and we have something to save us from, you know, eating bad stuff. And now this umami that we're learning more about helps us to detect proteins, essentially.
So, when I eat a banana, is it really just those, like, a matrix of those five things is what makes me identify that taste of banana in my head?
Yeah.
Including, and then there's also a textural element.
Yeah, there's a textural element, and there's a smell element too.
Oh yeah,
olfactory. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this breaking it all down to this and knowing what causes these different sensations is essentially how taste science works.
Yeah,
that once you know what these compounds are, you can mix these compounds together, and as long as you know they don't react and make more compounds, and you have more just like a solution, you should be able to recreate a flavor.
I have completely underestimated the tongue.
No, tongue is kind
of
crazy.
Like this, like of all parts of my body, I don't feel like I've ever gained more respect for one than through doing this podcast.
Than the tongue.
Yeah.
You know what is I think really cool, and I haven't really worked into this enough yet. How we talked about how muscles can only pull.
Uh-huh.
Then how does your tongue stick out?
Yo, I don't know.
I believe it was Da Vinci who said all the muscle can do is pull, except for the tongue and the genitals.
Yeah. So, no, but I mean, I don't know. Like, I bite my tongue. Like,
yeah.
And it's such a valuable thing.
Yeah.
Love your tongues, everyone. Make sure you check us out on artofmedschool.com. We have a ton of more information, blog posts, any of our past episodes that you might have missed, as well as some really fun underwater photography that Mike has been working on.
there's some cute photos of fish. So check us out on artofmedschool.com.
All right, Micah, so it is really close to the end of this first, what do you call it?
Semester.
It's not a quarter?
No.
All right.
This semester, like three semesters a year.
Oh, yeah.
Because we go year round.
One.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is really close to the end of the semester.
Yeah, like when this gets posted, I'll actually have finished all of my tests.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Right?
Oh, I did not realize that till just now.
Everyone, be aware that we will probably be drinking strong rum the evening of this.
Probably
yeah.
Making sure that I am relaxing somehow.
Yeah. But a lot of people are going home because you've got a little bit of a break, yeah?
Yeah, so we get a week and a half, basically. It's like 10 days. And quite a few people go home over the break. I can understand why, especially, you know, I think I don't have a good perspective on it because you're here.
Yeah.
And as much as I love my family, you're here. I don't feel like I need to go back as much. You know, if I was like 24 and, you know, my nuclear family was my only family at the, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like things just change when you get married and you're here.
I know. I love this conversation so much. but, so, cause I think that a lot of people in your class get homesick a lot worse than we do.
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
of that.
Well, and we also have, quite a few people, like almost every break already, we have someone scheduled to come visit.
Yeah.
And I think that makes a tremendous difference too, because we'll be here, but we'll be back onto this idea of like being on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think that is a different, look. I'm also one of the older. Nah, I should say I'm probably on the upper side of average for age.
Sure.
So there's the people that I noticed talking about being homesick a lot are the mid 20 year olds for the most part. And I just need to get off the island.
So when
I have no desire, like I'm good.
Yeah. When they're talking about being homesick, what do they miss?
They mostly talk about food, and I get that.
Yeah. Like I have never craved a Diet Coke more in my life, or going to drive through, man.
We didn't even really eat out that
no.
much, or especially not fast food, and we didn't drink a lot of pop back home. But
no.
every once in a while, like I find myself more regularly rewarding myself with like a regular Coke here than I would back home.
Yeah, and I mean I think that regardless. If you are outside of your home culture, it's you'll miss that, you know.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
There's a lot of differences here, you know, just cultural differences, and every so often you miss your home, and
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And oh, you were also talking about people talking about missing driving.
Yeah, which is an interesting one. I think I guess we also have a car, so I don't connect with that one because
yeah.
I am driving. But we also live, like, we live in a place where we need a car. They
mm-hmm.
live walking distance to school, grocery store, all that stuff. What they do talk about frequently, though, is that not having a car means that they're not getting out of their, like, neighborhood, and they're not seeing any of the island. And I think they really what they're really missing is that freedom of movement.
Yeah. No, I totally hear that. And you feel like you're isolated and trapped.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you realize you're on an island and you're isolated and trapped on an island and it's, ah!
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I think sometimes even we get homesick and that's, or grumpy with, just grumpy and a little homesick and that is totally when we will buy one of two things. It's either macaroni and cheese or boxed sugary cereal.
Oh. Yeah, we've done both of those things. Actually, tuna melts do it for me, too.
Really?
Yeah. I like tuna melts quite a bit.
And then we usually lay on the couch, not wearing pants.
Yep.
And binge watch on Netflix.
Yep. there's something about binge watching Netflix that because we watched a couple episodes this morning of Supergirl, and there's something about doing that totally makes me forget that I'm not back in the States.
Yeah, absolutely.
The other thing that I think would be a really good way to get that feeling of home again is I want to go to the movie theater here.
Yeah.
And I think it would be something about going to a movie, and I looked at pictures online. It looks like a decent movie theater. Going to the movie theater, getting pop and a popcorn, and doing that, like, very American trip to the movies.
Yeah. So, I mean, and whatever strategies that you've got, you know, sitting, you know, and I think that usually getting over being homesick is a little bit of escapism.
Yeah.
You know, finding a really good book that you want to read or, you know, doing whatever. But it's totally normal. It's totally natural. And you're totally allowed to do it.
Yeah. Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
We launched our Patreon account. Please go check it out. You can find a link on our website or just look up Art of Med School on Patreon.com. This is a great way to support us as we work hard to make the most and best content possible. You can find more information on our homepage at artofmedschool.com. And every little bit helps. Thanks.
So last on the list, and we're end up a little light this week, but I think that's probably in large part because of tests this week. Actually, the day that we're recording this is the day before a pretty major cumulative test for me. And I'm probably not going to study today. I mean, I'll study a little bit, but there's totally that thing about going in refreshed and clean as opposed to worn and wicked. There's quite a few times that we've had exams where someone will come in and be like, oh, I didn't sleep at all last night.
That is terrible for you.
That is absolutely terrible.
I mean, I remember even, you know, taking the standardized test in fourth grade.
Yeah.
That they're like, you need to make sure you eat a big breakfast.
Yep. That's on my list for the morning, too. Just make sure to have a good breakfast. But anyway, so we talked about taste. We're also going to talk about the facial nerve. And
there's only one?
Well, I mean, no. It's like,
oh, continue.
Okay.
I got nervous.
But there is a nerve called the facial nerve.
Oh.
It's cranial nerve 7. Not like you have one nerve that runs down the middle of your face and it just takes care of everything.
I know, that's what it sounded like.
No, there's quite a few nerves going on in the face. It's like we talked about with the muscles of facial expression and all that stuff, that you have so many different muscles on your face that it requires all the blood flow.
Yes.
Well, now we're all talking about the nerves. It requires a lot of nerves, right? So the facial nerve, it actually comes from pharyngeal arch 2. And I think we've talked about pharyngeal arches a little bit on here. But basically, a pharyngeal arch is that arch, as you're a fetus and you're growing, there's these little arches that develop. There's 6 of them. And they all grow.
Like back when you still look like an alligator.
I kind of think of a prawn.
Yeah, like, well, I was thinking alligator mixed with like a fern.
Alligator mixed with the fern.
It looks like an alien.
It definitely looks like an alien. So there's 6 ridges that develop, and they're called the pharyngeal arches, and they all will develop or give rise to something else.
Right.
And since they all come from the same area, they all have a lot of things in common.
Yeah. We talked when we were talking about that disease.
Creature Colin?
Yes.
Yeah. There's also, like, the anterior compartment of the thigh, when we talked about muscles coming from the same origin, how they have the same blood flow and things like that. So this is all true of your face as well.
Okay.
So pharyngeal arch 2 is the facial nerve, and so the things that it gives rise to are innervated by the facial nerve.
Okay,
so that's muscles of facial expression, which there's a ton, so we won't list them all. The stapedius in your ear.
Stapedius?
In your ear. The stylohyoid muscle and the posterior belly of the gastric, which connects the hyoid bone. You know the hyoid bone in your
it's in your
throat. It's actually not even connected to anything else other than by muscles and ligaments, and it's like it's basically right above your thyroid that area.
Uh-huh.
So the gastric connects the hyoid bone to the head, but. Anyway, so it gives rise to all those things. Pharyngeal arch 2 gives rise to all those things. That means that they're all innervated by the facial nerve. The facial nerve is kind of cool because inside of your head it enters the internal acoustic meatus. So there's a hole, like when you look inside of the skull, there's a hole on either side kind of by where the brainstem goes out.
Uh-huh.
And it's like your ear hole.
Oh, okay.
In the bone.
Sure.
That's an internal acoustic meatus. It enters there, and then, like, so does your vestibular cochlear nerve, so your nerve for your ears. They both enter there, but the vestibular cochlear one goes all the way through to your ears. The facial nerve, like, zigzags and comes out the stylomastoid foramen, which is, like, basically it's just, like, down and forward. But from there, it branches into the posterior auricular nerve. Do you remember what that word means, auricular?
Ear, hearing.
Yep.
Aural.
Yep.
Auricular.
Yep. So the nerve for the posterior auricular nerve, so the ear nerve that goes, like, for the muscles behind your ear. Nerve to the posterior belly, the digastric. And this is such clever naming. Like, what is the nerve that innervates the posterior belly of the digastric?
The posterior digastric nerve?
Pretty much. It's nerve to the posterior belly of the digastric. That's actually the name of it. Nerve to the stylohyoid muscle. But the really important thing, too, is that it also gives off the chordae tympani, which is one of the taste nerves.
Oh.
So the anterior two-thirds of your tongue...
That's the back part?
No, the front.
Front part, okay.
That taste sensation comes from the facial nerve.
Weird.
Yeah, but not the regular sensation. So if you bite it, you're going to feel it, but that's not the facial nerve.
Right.
Yeah, all the muscles are something else. You know, the posterior third is something else.
Your tongue's so crazy.
Yeah, tongue is nuts. The facial nerve also hits the parotid gland, which is, you know, your saliva glands that are in front of your ear, kind of in your cheekbone area, or jaw joint area. So that's where the parotid gland is, and sometimes we have to have those glands removed. So it's really important to know the relationship of the facial nerve to the parotid gland for when you do a parotidectomy.
Why do you have to have them removed?
If they, you know, it's kind of like a tonsillectomy. If they get super infected or inflamed, or you can actually have, what's the word? There's a gland, the parotid gland, and then there's a duct that takes the saliva into your mouth to the second molar from the back on top.
Mm-hmm.
That's where your parotid duct is.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get blockages in there.
Mm.
And so there's a bunch of stuff. But so at that point, the facial nerve actually divides five more times. And the mnemonic that we use is to Zanzibar by motor car.
That rhymes, too. That's fun.
Yeah, so say it. To Zanzibar by motor car.
To Zanzibar by motor car.
All right, so you got the temporal branch, two, temporal. Zanzibar is zygomatic. By is buccal. Motor is marginal mandibular. And car is cervical branch. So temporal, zygomatic, buccal, marginal mandibular, and cervical. To Zanzibar by motor car. So that's kind of it that we're going to cover for facial nerve right there. There's a ton more that's going on as far as, like, different branches and things that it innervates, but these are the major ones.
I think I just found
that
duct in my mouth with my tongue.
We can break out a pen light and see if you're right.
All right, everybody, there you have it. We had this week, episode 14, Taste, What We Do When We're Homesick, and the Facial Nerve. I hope you join us next week for episode 15.
Our theme music, Urbanimatronica Wu Ya Mix by Spinning Mercata, is copyright 2011, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License. This show is not affiliated or endorsed in any way by St. James School of Medicine. Micah just goes there. The Art of Med School podcast is part of the Art of Med School Network. For more information, find us on the web at artofmedschool.com.